on a Sunday or Wednesday. Like, for example, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I don't think we're going to sing that here, but have a question for some of our young people, and you can, if you know the answer to this, you can just let me know. But you see, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, he didn't come into existence until 1939, when the owner of the Montgomery Ward store, 1939, they were selling coloring books, but he said, I think we're going to make our own coloring book. And so this is where Rudolph came in. Now, his name wasn't Rudolph right away. He wasn't a reindeer. He wasn't a reindeer. So my question is, if he wasn't a reindeer, what was he originally in the drawing that they had? Not a reindeer. Has to be kind of big. What is it? Come on, throw out a name.
A moose.
Not a squirrel. What? A moose?
A moose.
Who said that? Okay, you get a free latte afterwards. You're right. And his name initially was not Rudolph. His name was going to be Rollo. Rollo, that didn't work. Then they thought of Reginald. Reginald, no. So just Rudolph's the name. Now, obviously, he had a big nose that was the indicator for direction. In a few minutes here, we're going to talk about Jesus, who came from heaven to earth to lead us in a relationship with God and to spend eternity with him. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But as you're standing, before we do that, just take a couple of minutes and just greet some people that are around you. Say Merry Christmas. Greet one another right now. They're from your territory. So let's go ahead and stand, and we're going to stand and read. We're going to all stand, and I'm going to open up my Bible to 1 John. So in 1 John chapter 1, what we're looking at this evening is the best gift given to the world. That best gift is Jesus. And in 1 John chapter 1, as we're standing, these four verses, John the Apostle is speaking. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hands, we've handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen, and we bear witness, and we declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that we have seen, we've heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And then he says, these things we write to you that your joy may be full. Father, bless this study right now. Bless God as you would encourage us with the gifts that you have for us because of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There's four gifts right now in a quick way that I'm going to communicate, and they're not gifts from me to you, they're gifts from God to you. And John the Apostle is communicating this. It's at the end of the first century, and he realizes that the Christian church is having great difficulty, and he brings back what we need to hear today as well as back then. So the first thing that God gives to us in a gift right now is fullness of joy. Now, we have to understand that joy and happiness are two different things. So, for example, I remember a number of years ago, we received a prepaid gas card. It was for $50, and we were so excited. I mean, the timing couldn't have been better, and I was just so excited. I mean, I was happy, for sure. $50. And then I went and, tried to get it to work, and there was only $1.47 on that card. Some things you always remember. Somebody re-gifted me a card. But anyways, I'm just going to say, at first I was really happy, and then that went away. See, happiness is based on circumstances. The joy is based on something inside. And this joy is because of this relationship with God. We're able to have a joy which is different than happiness. This joy is a steadfastness. And so the Lord says to you, I want you to experience this fullness of joy. Now, Psalms 28, it says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. I'll trust in him. I'll help in him. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, or there's great joy. Nehemiah said, don't sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. All of these are examples of joy in the Bible. As a matter of fact, listen, at the end of our life, when we face the Lord, this is how important joy is and how important the fullness is right now. Because when we see Jesus face to face, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. It tells us that at his right hand is joy forevermore. John would tell us this, and this is, I think, an important point before we move to the second gift. And this is this. You might say, I like what you're saying, Pastor, but you don't know my circumstances. And I would agree, I don't. But like I said earlier, this joy isn't based on me or my circumstances. It's based upon the Lord Jesus Christ who gives us this joy. So you say then, Pastor, I can't change my circumstances. Can I still have this joy you're talking about? The answer is yes. How? Do I need to do 10 push-ups? No. None. What do I need to do? The answer is from Jesus in John 16:24. Until now, you've asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Ask God. The second gift that he has for us, if the first one is fullness of joy, and we get this right out of 1 John, and this is an important communication from God's heart to us today. The second one is so important, and it's in 1 John chapter 2. And in 1 John chapter 2, again, what we're looking at are these four gifts. And John says, little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. He himself is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the whole world. Big words, Pastor, you lost me. I'll bring you back in. There's fullness of joy, and we can always be forgiven. There's fullness of joy, and we need to ask. And he's saying we could always be forgiven because Jesus Christ has provided that way. When I look at my hand here, and some of you young ones, I was about 4 or 5 years old, and my mom told me not to play with glass jars. By the way, that's all we had was glass jars. They had not yet invented plastic. And so I had a glass jar in the driveway next door with a neighbor, and I saw, you know, my dad coming home driving up in the car, and I got frightened, and I dropped the glass, and I went to pick it up, and then he went to take me to the hospital and get stitches. So I still have this, and this is a great reminder for me. For all of us my age and anyone younger, it's a great reminder because scars have a great way of reminding us. And I have a visible scar, but a lot of our scars are on our hearts, are on our minds and our hurt. But I learned real quickly that my dad wasn't mad at me. He cared about me. He wanted to know if I was okay. And then he took me to the hospital and took care of me. And I asked for his forgiveness at a little age and just was loved by him. And I want you to know that's the relationship the Lord wants us to understand, because the church had forgotten this relationship with God. Things had come in and they were being challenged. And he says, I want you to know, I want you to have fullness of joy. I mean, just ask, please ask. And I want you to know that I will always forgive your sins. Please ask. The third thing is, and this is, again, in the first century, but it applies to us right now, but it goes back to 1 John chapter 2, 26 and 27. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you've received from him, it abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Again, a big portion right there. But real simply, we're looking at four gifts tonight. Four gifts from God because of Jesus Christ. The first one is he wants us to experience the fullness of joy, not based on our circumstances, based on his perfect work for us. Second one, we mess up so much. We sin. And Jesus says, I love you. There's no sin you've committed that I won't forgive. And there's nothing you've done that I don't know about. I want a relationship with you. Come to me. And the third thing we just read is deception. In this world, deception is big. You see it more than ever before. I mean, just when you look at the media and you wonder, what's going on? Who's telling the truth? And I tell you, the church isn't exempt. There's just a lot of garbage that's out there. God's word is true. And when you have Christ living in you, the Spirit of God lives within you. And you know, if you've been walking and fellowshipping with the Lord, and that's what it's about, you're fellowshipping with God, you're walking in that joy, and you're trusting him, and you are asking forgiveness of sins, you are able to discern real quickly when you see or hear what's not true. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is abiding in you. And he says, I don't want you to be deceived, to go the wrong way. Proverbs 12:26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully. Young people, choose your friends carefully. If not, they could lead you in a way that God doesn't want you to go. Also, it tells us not only that, but in Colossians 2:6, therefore, as you've received Christ, so walk with him. And then finally, the fourth gift. These are all gifts from God. They're for everybody who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is joy and there is forgiveness. And there is the presence of the Holy Spirit to guard us from being deceived. And finally is the assurance of salvation. All of us, no matter where we're at in our relationship with God, even as secure as we believe God's word is, we need to hear these words. These things I've written to you in 1 John 5:13. I've written to you so that you would believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. God wants you to have no doubt whatsoever, and that's why he wrote it here. He wrote it because many times, emotionally and for other reasons, we can wonder, Am I right with God? Do I have a relationship with God? That relationship began when you asked Christ into your life to forgive your sins. And that relationship isn't based upon you. We get to heaven based upon his perfection and not our perfection. Amen? It's based upon his work and not our work. Now, we get upset because we see the decisions we make, and we get upset. But Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs of Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified with him. It tells us that there's no salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given by which men must be saved. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. We're going to have communion here. For those of you that might be involved in passing out communion, you could go towards the back. And I'm going to have Victor and also Chris Scott come up here at this time. And they're going to lead us through communion. And Sean, you'll come up as well for worship. And we'll coordinate this all together in a minute. Just a summary here before we have communion. We are able to celebrate the true meaning of Christmas because of Jesus Christ. Christmas is about Jesus Christ. He is God's gift to the world. It's a gift for the entire world. As you know, if you attend here, I am not interested in one particular generation. I'm not interested in the younger generation. I'm interested in every generation. Every generation is what God is interested in. He says, God so loved the world, so we're interested in everyone, because God is reaching everyone, not to the exclusion of anyone. And so this relationship with the Lord is one where we say, God, you're right and I'm wrong. I've sinned and I accept your forgiveness for my sins. And I thank you for being the gift from heaven, the gift of God, eternal life. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. God, we thank you. It's by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, if it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And we thank you for this gift. My friends, you and I will walk out of here experiencing fullness of joy. You and I will walk out of here realizing, you know what? Christ has washed me anew again. We'll walk out of here realizing I am not going to be taken in by the world or the media or the junk. I'm going to follow Christ. We're going to leave here today realizing we are more ready for heaven than ever before.